This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. More and more people around the world are choosing to get their hands dirty, working them into the soil to grow produce in their own backyard or community garden. And Barcelona, Spain is one of the hubs of this international movement. There are about 50 community gardens in Barcelona, and they're used by a wide range of communities. One local filmmaker just spent 6 weeks in that city documenting the phenomenon. He has talked to former prisoners, activists, and elementary school teachers who are all working on different urban gardens around the city. And many of them said that urban gardens encourage sustainability, creativity, and community. Will Weldon joins me in the studio today to talk about the project and some of his findings. Will, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
It's great to be here, Frank. Thanks for having me.
What took you to Barcelona? How did you get interested in all of this?
Well, I was primarily interested in finding a way to spend time in Barcelona, and to that end, I discovered an artist residency in Gracia that had an open call for projects around the theme of making neighborhood. So I drafted a proposal to look at urban gardens in Barcelona and urban agriculture. Knowing that it's a theme that's really popular in Barcelona and Spain, I thought I would find things such as innovations, such as rooftop gardening or different ways of rainwater harvesting and compost collection. But what I found was much more focused on community and building community and taking advantage of the available resources, and not so much innovation in the ways that we think of them in technological ways.
So tell us about this. I mean, 50 gardens, and you find them in all different settings, too. And I think that illustrates your point, that it's about community, where we find it, rather than about techniques in agriculture. But give us an idea of the scope and the range of gardens that you document.
Yes, that's right. There are about 13 gardens managed by the Ayuntamiento, which is the municipal city government. And those are spaces that were unoccupied, and some of them have long legacies, but they're basically run by the local city government as a way to avoid disputes between neighbors because these green spaces are incredibly rare. Beyond those, there are probably another 20 or 25 community gardens in different neighborhoods. Some run by loosely formed groups, some just by neighbors, and some by membership, where people have to come and apply to be a member of this garden. And there are also a number of gardens in people's backyards that are run by just a small group of neighbors as well. And there are many communes there, which is something we don't think of as common in a sense here. But there are places where 20 or 30 people are living together, running their own garden, trying to grow their own produce, and trying to live entirely sustainably.
First of all, I love the idea that the way to end disputes, or at least modify but moderate disputes between neighbors, is not to make good fences, but to tear down the fence and make common ground. Common ground, not good fences, makes good neighbors, at least in Spain.
Yes, that's right. It's the way the Ayuntamiento manages it is there's so much demand that they have a lottery every few years. And the neighbors are, in a sense, competing against each other, or they call them the grandparents, the retired people. And they come together, sometimes not knowing each other at all, and in the end are sharing resources, sharing compost bins, sharing trowels, and clearly getting along happily for the 5 years they can operate the plot that the Ayuntamiento has given them.
This is great. So not only – now, you talked about some of these plots, particularly the city-owned plots, going back for a long way. How many of them are new? It seems to me that a lot of these sprung up, and particularly post-2008, I guess, huh?
Yes. And they're probably – they're probably about a half dozen new ones. And most of them have come about as a result of buildings coming down or a piece of property previously being occupied in a commercial sense. And now that whatever that commercial purpose was, a building or something temporary in that space has come down. And so when that space opens up, the neighbors just pounce on it. And they then start competing among each other. What are we going to do with this? Is it going to become a plaza? Are we going to put benches here? Or a bocce ball court? There's sort of an ongoing joke of whether it's going to be a garden or a bocce ball court. And most of them end up as gardens. So the Ayuntamiento settles a lot of those disputes, but a lot of them they settle on their own and self-govern.
But that is interesting. So that in the collapse of 2008, we've got a lot of fallow land now, a lot of places going out of business, and it's a lot of it is now turned into these community gardens. Can you give us a sense of then who is gardening and the different forms and different ways in which these gardens look and act?
Well, it's interesting. I was expecting to find a lot of creativity in the display of the gardens. They tend to conform to the space that's available, as most of them do everywhere, but they are mostly linear gardens. So you walk down rows and then turn at a right angle and walk down another row. Here we think of gardens as, you know, just sometimes they're circular, sometimes they might just have various curves and undulations, and they're also straight lines as well. Almost all the gardens I encountered there were organic. In fact, I don't remember anyone saying that they used pesticides and artificial fertilizers. They called them ecological, and all of the gardens were organic. There was sort of an active resistance against corporations in that sense, but they use the available resources. They use broken pots. They use they paint old brick walls to make them more beautiful, and they use recovered wood, recovered metal, just all sorts of things. In fact, most of the gardens you'd see a whole corner dedicated to the recycled materials that they're trying to put to use.
Are they producing much food?
They are. And they didn't – I was there in November and December, so they weren't the most productive months. But you could tell that these gardens were – there was significant output even in November and December. And one of the major focuses of a lot of the gardens is not to put food on people's plates every night, but to have two or three or five big occasions a year where they come together for a big community meal. And the big community meal is made possible by – all this squash and tomatoes, and I'm sure in the summer times the meals are more frequent, but it's a way to get outside. It doesn't cost much. It's a way to get to know your neighbors and to celebrate the diversity in the garden.
Well, what about that? Because, again, I think this idea of community is what you started out with, that this is what you're exploring. I sort of think of Europe and perhaps Spain in particular as a place where there is where people do know their neighbors more. I don't know how much of a foolish prejudice that is, and that's kind of a problem here. We'd love to get people out of their houses and you know, into the dirt together. Is that a problem that needed fixing, or did people sort of live that way anyway, and this garden is just another way that people exercise their communal preferences?
That's exactly it. I think the impression I got was that people were doing this anyway, and it was an opportunity for them to get out of their houses and to get back in touch with natural rhythms, get back in touch with the earth. And, of course, as you've alluded to, La Crisis, which started in 2008, just shocked a lot of people, and it shocked them into realizing they couldn't be complacent and expecting that some of the same old habits and the same old ways of getting together would always be available. They had to take advantage of resources, and time was a big factor in that. The unemployment rate, I think, now is down to 24%. So there are a lot, probably one in four people are just left without a whole lot to do.
Yeah, and I do think we forget that. I mean, our unemployment rate, because of the way it's counted, seems to be coming down. It's not. People are still out of work. They're not being counted. But around the world, and particularly in the less well-developed parts of Europe, 24% is the unemployment rate. This crisis is a worldwide persistent crisis. And
yes,
people are coming up with their own solutions, coming up with ways of coping with it.
Yes, exactly, and especially among the older generation, the people over 65 who are – they call themselves retired, but they basically have just been forced out of the workforce, and so they realize they're not ever going to work again, so they're going to either play bocce ball or garden.
Also, it was a space for prisoner rehab, I guess. Huh? Tell us about that. We have a clip from the video here. Maybe we'll play that first, and then you can tell us a little bit more about this gentleman.
I'm nearing the end of a 4.5-year sentence for hashish smuggling. I have a few months to do. I've been here a year in the garden. The prison put me on this. They said, "Do you want to do this? Are you able to do this?" I said, "Yes." I said, "I'd be okay with that." Well, it's quite therapeutic working away on your own outside, and I learn a bit of Spanish off the other people here.
There you go, a clip of a prisoner working in an urban garden near Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. from the video series about urban gardens in Barcelona. The filmmaker Will Weldon is here. Tell us more about him.
Yes, that was a person I met in a garden two blocks from the famous cathedral, Sagrada Familia, the Gaudí architectural masterpiece. And this it was one of the larger gardens I encountered. There are about 18 rows and divided mostly among the older people. But their last two plots, the last two rows of plots, were dedicated to prisoners who were, they called them in the third degree. So basically what we think of as parolees, people are semi-paroled. So they were working in the garden as a way to rehabilitate themselves, develop skills, and to gradually reintegrate into society. And from what I saw, there was absolutely no conflict between the older people and the prisoners. And they, some of the old people didn't even seem to indicate that they knew there were prisoners down there. But there was a coexistence that just seemed to represent this general fraternity among people in the gardens. Hey, they're working in the garden. We're working in the garden. We all enjoy it. We all see a benefit.
There was another garden that you profiled that was used by a public school, right?
Yes, yes. The Escola Montseny, which is on the side of another Gaudí landmark, the Parc Güell. And the school decided that they found a corner of one of the municipal gardens and got permission to start using that. Gradually, I guess over the last 6 years, have integrated it into the curriculum of the school. So all of the students in the school go there at least four times a year, just seeing the cycles as they change.
It's great to use more than just your thumbs when you're a kid these days, getting them busy in the dirt. You know, another really fascinating element of this profile that you did was one of the high-rises that are cultivating vegetables. Tell us about those gardens.
Yes, I encountered a woman who was had developed a project. She called it a project or a service more than a business, but I interpreted it more as an entrepreneurial development. Hort Lab. They actually don't pronounce the H, but it's Hort Lab. And there were 3-foot by 3-foot modules on wheels that allowed people to use their terraces, rooftop spaces, in some cases a patio if people are lucky enough to have a patio. And the value of having the garden on wheels is that they could take advantage of the space if there was sunlight in one corner more of the year or in another corner, or if they wanted to get more rainfall, or if they have a social function, they wanted to move the garden out of the way so people could walk around more. But it basically was allowing people with a little bit of space to make great access to fresh vegetables and fresh herbs.
So do we each get our own cart, or do we go from apartment to apartment depending on where the sun is? Or?
Well, I think it's still evolving. And
yeah.
I think her vision is to have them linked so that people can maintain their neighbor's modules. So if they're on a rooftop or on a large terrace, they can maintain their neighbors. But as it is now, it's basically individually, people will buy 2 or 3 or 4 modules and keep them on the terrace and plant them seasonally.
Kind of like the ultimate potluck, you know, you grow the vegetables, I'll grow the main course. Hard to figure out what you're going to do for dessert, but I guess they'll work that through. They're coming up with enough creative solutions here. So you did this kind of as an ethnography, I guess. How did the folks take this? I mean, when you started saying, "Oh, look, I'm this guy from America, and I want to do this thing about your gardens," what do they think you were doing?
Well, it was fascinating. There were a few of the gardens where I realized quickly that I didn't need to introduce myself as a journalist. Here I consider myself a video journalist and filmmaker, but as soon as I said the word periodista, they just got a little bit queasy. And I could tell that there were some times when it was better just to say, "Hi, I'm a North American and I'm interested in talking about these gardens and studying these gardens." And as in all places, I guess, but especially in Spain, developing relationships is really important. So you don't want to just appear with a camera on the first day. I would go and I would start to develop relationships and then start to know a few people, find out their schedules, when they're going to be in the gardens. And then once they saw that I was serious and I could come back with the degree of regularity, they started to trust me and they started to open up more.
Talking with documentary filmmaker Will Weldon today on The State of Things. So you're presenting these videos around Durham anyway, and there's certainly relevance here. There's a lot of this kind of activity here, Chapel Hill, in the Triangle in particular, and I guess across the whole state, right?
Yes, yes, that's correct. We're seeing a lot of community gardens springing up all over the place. I'm on the board at Seeds, and I've been really interested.
And that's in Durham, just to point that out, but go ahead.
Yes, certainly. It's in East Durham. And SEED's mission is around education and community, developing community and allowing people access to learning about how to garden and gardening together. And so a lot of what I encountered in Spain reinforced what is happening at SEED's, that it's just more and it's on a different scale. But we're seeing these therapeutic gardens are cropping up all over the place. In Chapel Hill, there's a farm at Penny Lane, which is associated with a medical school. So people are getting mental health treatment through gardens in various ways. There are gardens popping up everywhere. Most of them tend to be in associations or larger organizations. And that's one of the differences between Spain and here, which is that there they don't really need a formal organization. They just find a way to bond together. And in some cases, they have no budget. In some cases, they have a very small budget, but they find ways to get it done. And here, I think people tend to focus on how much is something going to cost? Where is the land? Where are the resources that we're going to find to do this? And I think there's a degree of creativity that maybe we're overlooking in asking those questions.
Well, the land use, I mean, it's interesting too, because this kind of, it creates an environment where you have community gardens and you're trying to attract, say, young professionals to an urban area. Having an urban garden is something that can do that. So if you want to put aside a little bit of land like they did, say, in the middle of Manhattan called Central Park, that land's worth a lot. But, you know, I don't think they're going to develop that anytime soon because it has another kind of value to New York City.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And we're seeing a lot of lots that are empty in neighborhoods, even around Durham and around Chapel Hill and Hillsborough, are now being occupied more for gardening purposes. And it's good to see. It's encouraging to see that happening.
Great to talk with you, Will. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank.
Local filmmaker Will Weldon joined us to talk about his film project documenting urban gardens in Barcelona. You can find out more about the project at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Hadi Mawagdi, and Will Michaels. Robin Copley is our technical director. Jess Clark, the intern. Brent Wolf, WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.